Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by It's For Women. You are not 9 to 5 and neither are we. Conveniently open online 365 days per year, 24 hours per day.
We're going to talk about something which is quite difficult now, but it is important, and I do encourage you to hear this story because my next guest got a devastating diagnosis, the worst possible news, just 3 years ago, but now she's on a mission to help other people, and she joins us to raise awareness about this disease affecting women, which is often found all too late. Good morning to you, Christine Campbell.
Good morning.
And I really appreciate you, by the way, speaking to us this morning. You're from Belfast. You're in Belfast right now.
I am indeed.
Let's begin, I suppose, early 2021. I want to find a little bit about you before we go into the bad news bit. You're working hard in Belfast, a mother of grown-up children, is that right?
That is indeed, yes. Looking forward to my retirement.
Yeah, and you were working...
And all those things that you plan to do.
Of course, you're working in the civil service.
Yes.
What sort of things did you do in your spare time that you love to do?
I love going to the theatre. Oh. I love reading. Actually, it was good to hear Richard on before me there.
Yeah.
And also just spending time really with my family.
A thoughtful, learned woman.
Yes.
It's April then, 2021. By then, you've had a few months of symptoms. What were they?
I was feeling quite full. I found it very difficult to eat. I was feeling extremely tired, mm-hmm. which wasn't really like me. My toilet habits had changed.
Yeah.
I know it's early in the morning to be discussing those types of things, mm-hmm. but I had issues with bladder and bowel control.
Yeah.
And also bloating was a really big issue for me. My waist had increased from 32 inches to 44 inches
wow.
within the space of a couple of months.
And we should remind people, because it's important, this is the message you want to get across. You're just in your early 50s at this point.
Yes, and I'd just been through the menopause.
Mm-hmm. Did you think this was part of that?
I did indeed, because I wasn't aware of the symptoms of
right.
ovarian cancer. I think we're all aware of symptoms around prostate and breast cancer,
yeah.
but there is little awareness raised around ovarian cancer symptoms. And I think at the time, if I'd have realised what those symptoms are and what they were indicating, that I would have tried to challenge the health system to get an appointment earlier.
Mm-hmm. And the extra misfortune, of course, it is April 2021. We're a year into the COVID pandemic and there are similar issues in the NHS in the north as we did down south in terms of delayed diagnosis. What is the diagnosis
yes.
they give you in that month?
I was admitted to A&E after an emergency gynae appointment and I was given a diagnosis of stage 4 high-grade serous ovarian cancer. In April 21.
And all of those symptoms were classic symptoms of ovarian cancer.
They were indeed, and I just wasn't aware of them.
Mm-hmm.
They were the classic symptoms, and I would urge anybody who is experiencing any of those symptoms that they contact their GP as urgently as possible.
What, I mean, April 2021, we barely remember it because of lockdowns and so on, but obviously a devastating time for you.
Yes, it was. It was actually quite traumatic having that news delivered. I just felt like the air had been taken out of my body, that someone had actually slammed me into a wall. And I just feared for the future. And as a mother, I was worrying about my children. Although they're adult children, I was still worrying about them.
Yeah.
And how I was going to deliver that news to them, which is the worst thing that I've had to do in my life.
Did you gather them together?
I did. The hospital were very good. They provided me with a private room, allowed me to have those discussions with my family in private. And there was a lot of tears, mm-hmm. tantrums, anger, grief even, about the life that I thought I was going to have and now I'm not going to be able to have. But we were quite stoic in that, what do we need to do now and how are we going to do it to get you through this?
This is the practical instancy of
it. The practical side, yes. Yeah.
The anger, I presume, is about that delayed diagnosis.
Yes, very much so. Mm. Again, as you explained earlier, it was sort of mid-pandemic.
Yeah.
So there was a lot of issues in the health service. People were having to wait extra long times to get appointments. And I was quite fortunate in that I got a cancelled appointment.
Really?
And that was when the gynae consultant actually said to me, this is not good news. Go home and pack a bag. You're going to hospital right now. And I got into the car. I sat in the car and cried and then drove home, packed my bag and went straight into hospital.
And of course, this is only the beginning of what I presume were severe treatments.
Exactly, yes. Because the cancer had spread, I had to go through three rounds of chemotherapy to enable the surgeon to find where the primary site of the disease had started. And then I had full debulking surgery and then another three rounds of chemotherapy, which I responded to quite well.
Yeah.
But then in July 23, I was told that my cancer had returned. It had spread. And unfortunately, there wasn't anything that they could do apart from give me some further chemotherapy to keep the symptoms and the pain at bay.
How long did they give you?
Sorry, it's very difficult.
Of course, yeah.
July 23, I was given a diagnosis of, if I took chemotherapy as a maintenance treatment, I had less than 12 months. If I didn't take chemotherapy, I would have 4 to 6 months. And that's a very difficult thing to hear.
I can't even begin to imagine, Christine. And again, having to tell your family all over again, more bad news.
Yes, yes. And I was still angry, but I've actually taken that anger and I'm trying to use it productively to engage and advocate across the island of Ireland in relation to the symptoms of ovarian cancer. I was really lucky. I was told in July 23 I had less than 12 months. There was nothing else I could do. But in April 24, I got a call from my oncologist who explained to me that a new drug had become available.
Yeah.
And that they would apply for funding to enable me to access it. And I'm really pleased to say that I had my discussion and my review with my oncologist on Monday. And they have said that the tumours have decreased quite significantly.
Yeah.
So it is actually buying me extra time.
You're
I will be forever thankful for that.
Because you've already outlived that prognosis that you had only 12 months to live.
Obviously,
exactly. We're talking to you now in September. It's all very recent, obviously, because we all remember what we're doing in just last summer, the year before.
Yeah.
You take the good days, I presume.
I do. I try to be positive and I try to find hope in everything that I do. I do belong to a lot of patient public involvement groups, both in Southern Ireland and up north, where I will advocate and will be discussing the symptoms just to raise awareness. And actually, I was at Stormont on Tuesday at the All Party Group for Cancer in Northern Ireland. And unfortunately, we don't have a cancer strategy implemented here, which is very frustrating for me. and I will continue to advocate for that to be implemented.
It saves lives, gives extra time.
It does.
It's quite simple.
Early diagnosis does save lives.
Yeah.
And if anybody out there is experiencing symptoms such as bloating, loss of appetite, tiredness, change in toilet habits, please, please contact your GP as soon as possible.
And tell the GP their fears as well, because that's the bit that you wish you were armed with.
Yes, exactly. I actually remember the first time that I was sent to hospital before I was diagnosed, and a doctor in the hospital asking me, was I pregnant? Wow. Because my stomach was so extended. As I say, it went from 32 inches to 44 inches within the space of 4 to 5 months. Mm-hmm. And I always looked after myself, exercised, ate the right things, don't smoke or drink. And I never thought it would ever happen to me. That sort of makes me angry. Not angry at hospital staff, but angry at a very broken healthcare system.
Yeah, that has repairs. Christine, I think people are going to find it staggering that you're devoting this time, because you still have a terminal illness as we speak right now,
yes,
to advocacy and helping other people and spreading this message. Does it give you purpose? Does it give you strength?
It does. It gives me all of those things. And it also makes me fulfilled. I know that there were parts of my cancer experience where I thought things actually could have been better. Communication could have been better. So what I hopefully am able to do is provide that little bit of information or signpost someone to somewhere, or a bit of information or guidance that'll actually make their experience better initially than my experience had been.
Mm-hmm.
And it does actually make me feel fulfilled that I am helping other people, but still going through my own cancer journey.
Yeah. It's extraordinary. And Christine Campbell, thank you so much. We are privileged to have you this morning. You're a wonder for doing this for other people. And I just wish you well and all the best. I hope the people in power are listening to you. And I wish you and your family all the best.
Thank you so much. And thank you for the invite.
And I hope you get to the theatre still the odd time.
Oh, yes.
The Lyrics of the
beautiful
place.
In Dublin to watch Hamilton.
Oh, brilliant. Okay, we'll enjoy that. Thank you so much, Christine Campbell. A family
no,
trip.
Thank
we'll
you
enjoy
so much
it. Enjoy every minute.
Okay. Thank
and,
you so much.
Thank you so much. And again, just a reminder, if you are experiencing those symptoms, get to your GP and speak to them and tell them your fears and tell them, you heard Christine. RT.ie/helplines will have all the support as well there.